Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with James Douglas, our good friends at Band of Coders. How you doing, James?
I'm good, thank you very much.
Now, usually you don't have any good stories for me,
I don't.
I'm going to skip that today.
Yeah, just skip it.
So what have you been up to?
So I'm still in the rounds trying to find my best pub or bar in Atlanta. And it's great because I'm going to obviously all the people that come to us and saying, right, take me to your favorite place.
Yes.
And my list is getting bigger, which is good.
So do you like British pubs? Is that what you're shooting for? You're looking for an American pub?
Quality. I don't mind quality. In what form it comes.
What are the qualities of a good pub?
Qualities of a good pub would be it doesn't sound like it's a sports bar.
Okay, so no
sports. Because that's a sports bar.
So we're going to eliminate sports bars.
That is a sports bar. So correct. Go to a sports bar if you want
to.
So
that's
bar.
Out.
No, it has to be a place where I can talk and hear.
Okay.
And it has to have a place that's probably got some interesting beers. And it probably has to have a place that's got atmosphere. And let's be honest, there's a few places in America that don't quite have that.
And so then how do you define atmosphere?
Not a neon light everywhere you look. Somewhere that's got a bit of a...
What somewhere. About like photos from Manchester United or one of your soccer things that you like?
Potentially. I mean, if you can actually have real brick, not fake brick, that's always a good way to go.
So you need an older...
It could be it could look like it is, but as long as it's not plastic, you're good.
All right. Well, I bet you our guests today
might I think they've probably
some,
got an opinion.
Some leads for you here. So I'm going to lead off with Karen Houghton. How you doing, Karen?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Now, you are the community manager at Atlanta Tech Village, which has to be the funnest job in the city. What do you think?
I would agree. It's pretty awesome.
Right? How many people are over there now?
We have well over 200 startups in our space and about 747 members as of today.
So now you can be a member but not be a startup in your space? What is a member?
That's a great question. It's actually how many members make up those 200 plus startups. So startups can be anywhere from a one person company all the way up to a 25 person company. We have a couple folks who are actually in the 30s too.
Wow. So at some point you want them to kind of graduate, right?
That is and the idea. So
let the birds fly as they leave the nest.
Yeah, we exist solely for that kind of beginning stage startup. Right. And the idea is that they'll need all the resources and support that they have with us. And then once they get enough traction, they will graduate out and we do throw them a party.
Do you?
We do. We have champagne and cupcakes and all sorts of fun stuff.
So how many companies have graduated?
We have graduated BitPay. So I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Absolutely.
But it's a payment processing platform for Bitcoin. And so they start out with two guys in our space, moved up from Orlando to Atlanta to build their startup. And they got close to $50 million in funding and grew to about 42 people in our space. And they graduated out this past spring, and they now have an entire floor in the building next door to us. And we're getting ready to graduate out Insight Pool as well. Mm-hmm. So those guys are actually up to about 60 employees, and they're like sardines in this little office. But we're so excited for them and their traction, and they're going to graduate out in December.
So now when you graduate them out, are they kind of sad that they're leaving? I would imagine there's some mixed feelings about...
Sure. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a little nostalgic, as in we've gone on some incredible journeys together, and most of the people in our space have gone through this renovation process with us. So we've done a huge renovation to the whole building. So, you know, you kind of share this bond of, man, we did this, we got through it. And for us, it's a big honor to kind of travel that journey with them. But it's definitely a good thing because it's a success. So it's very exciting and fun for them as well and us.
And also, they seem to just go down the road, so they're next door. They still so probably far, pop in for the coffee.
BitPay's next door, and Insight Pool's about a block away, so everyone's staying in Buckhead.
They
so
still
far.
Come by for the coffee, right?
Yes, we have alumni membership, so double net pay. There's a few other folks out there who are alumni for us, and they're welcome to come to the building and access everything that they did as members.
And when someone comes in, after they've been there perhaps 2 weeks and they've got over the fact that everyone's kind of cool and there are lots of kind of startups around them, what are the things that they say to you are the things that they absolutely love about being part of ATV?
I think our building is really awesome, but what gives us the greatest value is actually the community within the building. So it's not just about the facility. So the more what I hear on anything is how nice people are, how much they are willing to help. If people have questions about who to connect with, can you make an introduction? Do you know anybody in this space? we have forums and different groups and things, and people are always willing to help out. So we're really passionate about culture fits. And so far, I think most of the people have been great culture fits, mm-hmm. which really lends itself to a really special community.
Now, as the community manager, I would imagine that you know everybody. You're the like kind of the matchmaker and point person in a lot of the relationships, right?
Yes. We do curate the community, so you do kind of have to go through an application process. I do know most folks. Once we got over 500, it got a little harder as some companies are growing, but I
And don't they mash up? Like sometimes maybe they started as one thing and then they grab somebody from one thing that maybe isn't working and
yeah, the beauty of the village is there is really high density. Mm-hmm. So the idea, you know, some of the startups in our space are gonna fail. Actually most of them probably will.
Right.
And that's one of those things that if it does, you've already made so many connections, you're quickly absorbed. So we have a community that even if one thing doesn't work, then you can join forces with somebody else and build your next big thing.
Now, are you ever asked like, hey, I need this kind of, I need somebody who's good at this or?
All the time.
Is that so there? And then what, how do you choose?
Anybody that we know will make that connection. So it's, hey, you need somebody in PR. Here's our folks. You want to talk to somebody about, you know, raising a Series A. Here's some different investors or pitch opportunities that you can participate in. All the way to questions about, you know, engineering questions, codings, things like that. People can just reach out and ask different folks.
Now, I would imagine that you hadn't done this before in this specific way, right? Like this is kind of new to the town.
It was new to me and to our entire team. So I always say we were a startup too, a well-funded startup, but a startup.
But so you're just kind of going with your gut here, making things up as you go?
Yes. I'd like to say, I mean, there's definitely some strategic thought into that, and we have a really talented team. But it's definitely something that we're learning as we go, and we're getting feedback from the folks in our building. And, you know, we've been really transparent about our whole journey, really. And so.
So, but you're kind of doing like they're doing, you're iterating. You're getting rid of what doesn't work and you're keeping what works.
Yes, constantly.
And sorry, is it with culture that you're trying to create, lots of people are trying to create, that's kind of the thing that every incubator aspires towards. What do you think you do to try and make that real? Apart from just being nice, apart from knowing their names, what do you do? What do you pull into values-wise that try and helps you land that?
Yeah, we do have four core values that we try to abide by pretty strictly, actually. There's four of them. It's the first one's be nice, dream big, pay it forward, and work hard, play hard. It definitely shows our Southern roots a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that even as we kind of curate our community, I always talk about our values a lot. And I'm like, if you think they're silly, that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. But this is not going to be the best fit for you because we talk about it. It's in our Wi-Fi password. It's on our lanyards. And then as far as kind of creating that culture, it always comes from the top down. And David Cummings, our founder, really instills those in us. And then we try to everything we do with events and how we talk to folks, we definitely try to kind of always be reinforcing those values.
Now, what's your favorite community building activity?
Oh, good question.
That is a good question.
You have dodgeball.
We have done it. Yes, you laugh, but this is true. We have done a building-wide dodgeball tournament. A few people got really into it. And when I mean a few, I mean a lot.
Have you ever done dodgeball on a trampoline?
That's what we did.
I've played that, and it was very, very odd.
Yes, yeah. It was crazy. I got a little scared. I played, and then I was like, oh, I'm out. That's okay.
I felt like I should be in Portland.
Yeah, I think probably that whole work hard, play hard really is attractive to folks in our community. And people work really hard. We all know startups are stressful. There's really high highs and really low lows. So the more kind of community building events we can do that helps let off some steam and help people make connections in a really casual environment is beneficial. So we've done things like that. We had a huge block party for our members on our rooftop. Just recently we had free beer and wine and food, and we had a DJ and glow sticks and all sorts of ridiculous fun. And I think it's just finding that balance of always creating a culture of a place where you want to be.
Right.
And what's the average age of the people that are actually part of
the
community?
They're 65 years old. That's what's so unusual.
If you
about
thought
the
about
joining,
you should join.
Cocoon.
The bigger we've gotten, we definitely are growing more and more diverse, which is awesome. But we do trend male and we do trend young. So
define young these days. I'm getting older, so it's hard to tell.
20s and 30s. So okay. I'm 35, and I'm definitely older than a lot of the folks in there. But that being said, there are many, many really wise, talented folks who are older who are on their second iteration, third iteration, have had great success, are coming back and building another startup. And the more folks we can get like that in the building, the better too, because they provide great value. So we do have people in their 50s and 60s who are highly respected, and we're proud to have them there.
Now, you mentioned that I think it was BitPay came from Florida.
They did, in Orlando.
Are you finding more and more inquiries from people out of state?
We are. I think we've had several different people kind of move to Atlanta. What we've been told because of the Village is just provides this easy access resource. We're getting a lot more VCs and Silicon Valley investors and folks who are reaching out to us as well, which has been really exciting. How can I connect with the people? I just had a guy email me and he's like, all right, we got our $3 billion. We want to meet startups in Atlanta. How do we do that?
So they wait till their $3 billion.
That's what he said. I was like,
before
they
think of Atlanta.
Yeah, that's
gas is expensive. You got to get
the first $2 billion. Yeah. We can't do Atlanta. Well, we got to wait till our third.
I do think it's a fresh kind of activity and energy that's come to our city, mm-hmm. and I think that's a really positive thing because it's just re-putting us on the map. So I think that's a good thing.
And how do you, with you look at Orlando? Atlanta's got a great startup scene. How do you think we're different? What do you think was the draw for BitPay to come here?
For BitPay, it was the fintech. So we've got a lot of that financial kind of resources here. So we're one of the largest finance processing places, right, in the U.S.?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also healthcare IT. Are you guys doing anything with the healthcare IT summit that was today?
We do. We had some folks tour the Village just yesterday and got to meet with all of our health IT companies, and we do different pitches and things like that. So
now you collaborate with the TAGs and the Chambers of the World.
Everybody's
everybody's trying to play nice here in Atlanta. Are you finding that to be so, or
we actually for us, it's definitely about being inclusive. So we want to be inclusive of everybody in Atlanta, and we don't just say that; we actually mean it. And so, for us, like, two of our kind of overarching goals are to help drive Atlanta into one of the top 5 tech hubs in the U.S. and help create 10,000 jobs in Atlanta in the next 10 years. We hope to be of a small part of that, a catalyst for that, but it's going to take everybody in the city, all of this talent, everybody working together to make that happen. So however we can create partnerships and strategic alliances, that's something that we want to do and we want because it benefits everybody.
Now, are you working with other I don't want to say villages, but other kind of incubator accelerators around the country? Is there any collaboration amongst them?
I probably wouldn't use the word collaboration, but it's definitely a friendly zone, if you will. We went up to New York when David first bought the building. Some of us flew up and we visited General Assembly and WeWork and some folks like that. And even here in Atlanta, Rome's opening up a Buckhead location. They're all really great folks. And that's something that our city's really big, right? It's over 4 million mm-hmm. people. So we have lots of opportunities. I think the sea is definitely big enough for all of us. And everybody kind of serves a different portion. So anybody's reached out to us, we've been happy to kind of share our secrets, if you will, and kind of talk to them about challenges and solutions that we found.
And you are kind of touring the country because in Silicon Valley, there's a lot more of villages there, village type environments there.
So yeah, I think the co-working is more new to Atlanta. I mean, you have folks who have been around and kind of, broken that mold. I think we're just a little bigger, so it's created a little bit of a bigger splash. But that's been here before us, and it'll be here after us, and we're excited about having more and more density in the city.
And the density is, that's where the magic happens. I mean, you can't do it with 6 people. I mean, you need a large number in order to have those kind of benefits, where somebody can jump ship and then land somewhere safely and not have to relocate or
Yeah, we talk a lot dramatic. About serendipitous interactions.
Right.
And like you said, you can't do that with just a few people. So once you get over 700 people in a building of incredibly smart, very bright, skilled people, so many exciting things are going to happen. So
now, what's been any inspiring things happen to you where you're like, wow, that was a kind of a nice moment?
Inspiring, like
for you personally?
I think watching Yik Yak grow has been a really inspiring for all of the Village team. So those are two guys, 23, had graduated from Furman. And they came to the village kind of during renovation. It was a huge mess. It was about a year ago, actually. It was a year ago last October. And they had kind of built something and it kind of failed. And then they had this new idea, and Brooks and Tyler would sit out on these hot desks and just really young, smart, cool guys. And they created this little anonymous social app called Yik Yak. That was 12 months ago, you guys. So we've watched them grow. They've gotten $11.5 million already in funding. They're in a corner suite. They have like close to 30 employees. And there's some rumors that they're going to close in on maybe another $75 million. So for us, for Atlanta, for these guys who are really great guys, it's been a great honor to kind of watch this potential unicorn, if you will, for Atlanta kind of grow on our walls and kind of be a success for some really good people.
And that's a band of coders. We have people come through the door all the time, and everyone's ideas are normally amazing and they're normally very specific to their industry. But occasionally there's ones that on a personal level you think, wow, that could be amazing. And, you know, this week we were talking to one of the people that we're building an Android app for, which is called Incubate. And they're just an amazing idea. When you hear it, you just say, why did this not exist before? And it's the simple idea of sending a message to someone in the future at a specific point in time. So girls love this because there's always movies where someone writes a letter and, you know, the wife reads or the girl reads it in the future. But it's the simple idea of, on the day I hold my baby, for example, I could take a video about what I think of that moment and send it to them at their 18th birthday. If I was to be incredibly poorly, hope it never happens, I could send a message to my child for the next 25 years of their life on their birthday with a personalized message. And you think, this isn't being done. And when you get these ideas, you think, wow, the transformative power of technology and where it could go. And, you know, and at the moment, they're a tiny team, and who knows where they'll be in a year. It's amazing. We love it.
It is. There are so many incredible ideas that have yet to happen. And every one of those new ideas shapes how we live. So I got chills hearing about that. It's such a cool idea.
Incubate.
Yes. Remembered. It got it.
So now looking ahead, what do you guys got in store? Because you're pretty full now, right?
We are. We've been operating off a wait list for about 10 months or so. And that included being under renovation, which creates a lot of pain points, if you will. But we are finishing up our renovation. So we've got a few things left over, but by the end of the calendar year, that should be done. So all of our floors are open. They are full. I've got about two offices left, and those should be full by this month.
And you have the wait list. So even if they do open, they will be full.
Correct. So that kind of how it operates off of. And we give preference to folks who are already in our building. Mm-hmm. And then second priority is folks who are not yet members. So if you're in there and you're growing, right? So everything's month to month. It's very easy to kind of change what you need. So 1 month you could need a 10-person office. The next month you could need a 5-person office or a 20-person office. So we do everything we can to be really flexible and be able to kind of ebb and flow with those startups.
And what do you need more of?
I think our city needs more big success stories and some more big funding.
Mm-hmm. And how do you, we often have these conversations on this show where we kind of isolate PR being a particular, let's say, an area for growth in Atlanta, but there are some stories, there's some amazing stories, but just they're poorly known. Is that something that you guys take particularly seriously, or is that not necessarily part of what you believe your role is here?
I think that is a need. I've heard that a lot. There've been a lot of conversations about that. I think, I don't know if part of it's the culture where you don't want to like brag on yourself, but it's something that I think we need to do more of as a city. And however the village can kind of do that, we definitely want to be a part of that. So we'll probably kind of more look at our success stories coming out of the village, and you better bet we'll probably share them.
So. I bet you will. All right. Well, if somebody wanted to learn more, you guys obviously blog and you keep everybody abreast of what's going on. Is there... Where should someone go to get that?
We do. You can go to atlantatechvillage.com, and you can subscribe for our blog there. You can see our active blog. You can also follow us on Twitter. It's ATL Tech Village, and we're on Instagram as well. So they're all great ways to kind of see what we're up to and get a look and feel for our community.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Yeah, happy to be here.
All right. Next up, we got Melanie Crissy. How are you doing?
So good. How are you?
Good. So you got to get in there closer to the mic, Melanie. Why don't you share a little bit about what you are up to?
So I've had the opportunity to work at Atlanta Tech Village with Karen. I'm there with a company called Rigor Web Performance. I I've been there for about a year. And recently, one of my projects has been organizing a Startup Chick Circle that meets at Atlanta Tech Village once a month.
And Startup Chick Circle, that's different than Startup Chicks?
Correct. So Startup Chicks is an organization that's been in Atlanta for a while, and they have these great events. They're all about educating, connecting, and inspiring women in small businesses, startup businesses, and entrepreneurship. But the circles are a new concept that we've launched in the last 6 months or so. And the idea is to get into Atlanta's fragmented neighborhoods closer to where people work, closer to where they live, so you can get a richer, tighter community.
So it's a Startup Chick kind of a group that's mm-hmm. just within Tech Village? Is that
Correct.
Where your circle is?
Yes. So our circle is unique to Tech Village. We're open to anyone who works in Buckhead or lives in Buckhead, or it's just a convenient location for you. We also have a sister circle at ATDC. So if you're closer to Georgia Tech's campus, that's a good place for you to connect.
But I can't go. It has to be a girl. It has to be a chick.
Startup chicks.
Yeah, chick. Chicks are high in the word.
Correct. So one of the great things about a circle is that there are a bunch of women there. So Karen was talking about the village kind of scales a little bit to the male side. So it's nice to have a safe place where women can get in a room and kind of bounce ideas off of each other in a positive way. We occasionally have male guests, but we try to keep everything people who identify as female.
Good clarification.
Yeah.
Do you identify as female?
I don't know. Some days.
So now, why did you decide to kind of be the point person for this?
It was not intentional. So when I started working at the village about a year ago, there weren't many female-focused career development groups. I really wanted to join one. I was trying to convince...
So you were looking for one.
Yes. I was trying to convince someone else to start one because I'm not a particularly organized or social person. But, you know, time went by and it didn't start, so I had to start somewhere. And it was actually my boss, Craig at Rigor, who connected me with JenBenet and said, don't reinvent the wheel. Startup Chicks have something great going on. You know, let's see if we can just bring those resources to the village.
So had there been circles before, or was this a new development?
I think it was a new idea. I think it was something that had been brewing, mm-hmm. but we were kind of the first ones to make it happen.
And how big is a circle? I mean, is it? Do you want 12 people? Do you want 10 people? Do you want 24?
Yeah, that's a great question. As many as we can fit in a room and also have a rich conversation. So a good circle could be anywhere from, you know, 2 to 3 people to 30 people, depending on what you're working on.
Now, is this have a regular rhythm? Is there a meeting every month or week, or how often do you guys get together?
Correct. So we try to meet every month. It's been very regular for the last couple of months. And then over the holidays, I think we'll take a break. So we'll get back in our rhythm in January.
And is there a format or is it kind of a free-for-all?
So our first couple of meetings, we really wanted to focus on connecting and getting rich network built and trust with each other. So we just kind of talked and had breakfast and shared stories. But now the format's becoming more focused on education. So moving forward, I think we'll have some sessions that are just about socializing and connecting, and other sessions that are learning specific things. How do you get funding? How do you get a mentor is one thing that we've done recently.
Now, is JenBenet involved in the structure of this, or did she kind of say this is your baby, so make of it what you will?
She came to our first meeting and kind of gave us her blessing and her direction. She said, here's what I think will work. And we stay really close in touch with her and always trying to work with her to find out what she knows we can do better.
So now what do you enjoy about it? I know you kind of accidentally became the lead person of it. So now you're a few months in. Is it something that you're enjoying?
I love it. I feel like it's enriched my life a lot. It's been a new responsibility, so there's great learning there. But I'm hoping that over the next couple of months I can get some other women involved in leadership roles mm-hmm. because I think that would be good for the community.
And your own sanity, right?
That too, yeah.
It's a responsibility, isn't it?
It is, and it's a very social responsibility. So I'm a bit of a geek. Kind of a technical person, and so I know that networking and organizing social events is not my forte, so I would love someone who is better at it to step up.
You're going to get some delegating skills
exactly.
going, right?
Exactly.
So now, how many people, what's your most women you've had at a meeting?
I think we've had events where it was sold out for 40 people, and about 30 people showed up.
Mm-hmm. So how was that? You were pretty excited about that, right?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was like standing room only in our little conference room. So it was great.
Now, when you're going forward in 2015, so you're going to create kind of a different structure in terms of education. There's going to be kind of like an editorial calendar of what you're trying to accomplish during the year.
That's the idea.
And then so you're going to cover funding, mentoring.
We just did a mentoring session, and it went really well. It was one of our girls, Nikki Nixon, who works with SalesLoft in the Village, wanted to share her mentoring strategy. So we're taking ideas for what we'll put on our calendar next year.
And I know we've had the Women in Technology folks in here, and they do a like a job shadowing.
Oh, yeah, they're wonderful. I actually had someone come shadow with me recently. It was great.
So now that's pretty rewarding, right, to have a younger person come by to see what a day in the life is kind of like?
I think so. And it's especially fun to bring them somewhere like our office.
Oh, yeah. They probably get blown away. Was it like a high school kid?
No, yeah,
yeah. You can't send someone to your office if that's the place to shadow, because they'll expect every office right. is that cool. And they will forever be disappointed.
And that's how we get talent and work for startups.
That's true.
Because the reason for the listeners that don't know is you probably need to just give a bit of an explanation. So Rigger, the company that you work for, apparently has been voted the best place ever in Atlanta.
Best is that place correct? To work.
Best place
yes.
to work.
Number yeah. one best place to work, small business category by the Atlanta Business Chronicle.
So high praise.
What makes it the best place to work?
It's absolutely mm-hmm. the people. Every single person on my team has my back. We don't throw each other under the bus. Everyone I work with is very intelligent. And supportive and positive, and it's great. And then the other thing is our clients are amazing. So it's been very rewarding.
So now how do you attract talent? Like what are, is it just kind of they organically just appear at the Village, or how are you going out and identifying who you need? Or are you targeting individuals? How does that work?
I think so far we haven't had to do a ton of targeting. That may be something that we get to do soon as we grow. Mm-hmm. But people are kind of seeking us out, people who are like-minded and care about problem solving and care about making the internet a better, faster, more fun place to surf.
All right. Well, let's talk about Rigger a little bit. What does Rigger do, and what do you guys, how are you serving the community?
Yeah, so Rigger is a web performance monitoring solution or a software as a service platform. So our main thing is making sure that your website, if it's a money-making website, or your app, if you bring in money through your app, is up and running and very fast, because the user experience is huge for these companies that are making money on their websites and apps. And if it's not fast, people are going to bounce, you lose money.
So now you just tell me that, hey, your website's slow, or you're going to give me some ideas on how to fix it?
So the Rigger app is going to pretend to be a user from all over the globe, spins up a browser. It's going to go act like a user on your website or your application and do like a user would do. And it's going to look for places where it's slow. And if it's slow or broken, it's going to notify either your business users or your developers so they can fix it or know how much money you're losing, or you know, if they need to prioritize the issue, or if it's a third-party problem, or you know, whatever you need to do. And we're working on getting better at suggesting things, being smarter and more predictive about how people can make informed decisions to make it faster.
Yeah, great idea. Yeah, great idea.
I think it's a really noble thing, and I love it.
So now, what is there certain types of websites or apps that use this more than others? Do you have a kind of an industry or a sweet spot?
Absolutely. So I think our verticals that we're learning are going to be media and e-commerce are big ones. Any place where you're making a lot of money online. So if you're just a small person who's running a blog, you might not be the best fit for our product yet. Mm-hmm. But if you know that you're doing a lot of business online, or you have to, you know, you're paying or you're keeping track of how many users are in your application, then right. you might be a good fit.
Right. So like an e-retailer where, you know, every second that they're slow, they could Precisely. Abandon the cart.
Exactly, yeah. So we do a lot of work tracking carts, and especially exciting this time of year with the holidays coming
That's
up.
That's right. It's a busy time.
And as you've been looking at so many different companies, websites and apps, is there any interesting feedback that you could give as a general view on where the weak points are, where the weak links are normally in these kinds of apps or web platforms?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people are running a lot of analytics. They're pulling ads in from other platforms, and those can be points of weakness for sure, especially if your dev team doesn't have a lot of control over it. So that's why you want to have real browser visibility to see, you know, what third-party things might be affecting your site.
And Rigger can tell, like, your website might be fine, but the mobile site might be slow.
Correct. So we can do some really cool things with mobile. A lot of mobile applications use APIs So we can track, like, and I'm sorry, am I getting really technical? And
this is some of our audience love this stuff.
I'm sorry.
They write to us all the time wanting
you
more.
You are not a technical person. But we do have ways that we can monitor mobile applications. And then we can also, responsive design is huge right now. So we can kind of do some cool things with pretending to be from different browser devices, monitoring mobile websites.
But it's a feedback loop. So in effect, you give someone some clear information, but you don't actually fix it.
We can't actually fix it.
But they can identify.
It's a lot more fun finding problems than fixing them, I think.
It'll help you diagnose.
Diagnose. There you go.
That's the better.
Now, what about sites that are international?
Oh, yeah. We do a ton of international sites. So actually, Tom's, for example, has a different Tom's store for all of their major countries where they're selling. So I just recently set up a couple of checks on their e-commerce platform, just making sure that all of the shoes load in correctly. And I did one for France and... Over in Eastern Asia, they do a bunch of global
and
selling.
Do clients normally have this on a retainer for a full year? Would they do it at peaks, periods? I mean, what's the kind of the norm for people?
I think the norm is to do it month to month until you know that you need it all the time. We are doing a lot more annual contracts.
So now, how did you get an account like Tom's as a startup?
I think that our salespeople are incredible, and they're so good at looking to solve real problems for people and not just sell a blanket service. They're really trying to figure out where people are having trouble and how they can help them make it better. And that's one of the great things about working at Rigor is that I can trust my salespeople to connect me with incredible people like Tom's. I think that... I don't actually know how they prospected the deal. They probably went to New York and talked to someone.
Well, I can assume you can probably do a lot of analysis on organizations that aren't actually subscribing to you, and you can go to them saying, this was a 70% drop-off on this. We can help you. I assume that helps.
That's true. So one of the things about external synthetic monitoring, which is what we do, is that there's no installation required, so we can do a lot of research ahead of time.
Yeah.
Melanie's being a little humble, too. They've got a lot of big enterprise customers. So.
We do, actually. I had a great conversation with someone from CNN yesterday, and Weather Channel is one of my favorite teams to work with. So we're picking up some really big deals. Thank you.
Amazing.
Now, have you been around since the beginning? Are you one of the founders?
No, I'm not a founder. I wish. I've been there for about a year. So I was employee 7, I believe.
And so had you ever worked for a startup before?
Yes, actually. So I worked at Pardot in Atlanta for about 2 years. That's how I kind of got my foot in the door and learned that I love technology and that I love to code.
Now, so you're a coder, a woman coder.
Yes.
And that's, like you said, there's not as many of you as there are men coders.
That's true.
Can you talk a little bit about why you think that is? Because I'm always curious about this because, like I said, we do a lot of work with women in technology, and we talk about how to get more girls and women involved in technology. Where do you think the drop-off occurs, and why do you think it occurs?
Oh, gosh. I'm not an expert in why it happens or where it happens.
But at some point, you must have noticed, like, hey, I'm the only girl here. Where did all the other girls go?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it really... That wasn't my experience. I think that I thought I really wanted to work in marketing or design or something, and then I kind of discovered... the internet and kind of dug into it that way. But I've never been in a technology space where I saw people drop off because I wasn't in technology growing up. I was kind of in a more like well-rounded academia. There wasn't really a STEM program at my school.
And when was the switch? When did you start moving more in that direction?
I think that the first thing that really made a difference for me was learning that I can see the code in my browser and my computer. And once I learned that I can pull back the curtain and teach myself how things work, I just couldn't stop. I just got addicted to it.
Now, so it hadn't been your experience that that you hadn't seen, you've seen girls enjoy and consume technology, and you've always seen, I guess, girls code or use technology or be a part of creating the technology?
I think I've been really lucky that I've had a lot of female coders in my life that I can kind of see working on things. But you're right that there probably are some scenarios where women get into science or technology and at some point decide they want to do something else. It's just not my experience.
So now moving forward with the Startup Chicks Circle, you're looking for more members?
Yes, we're always looking for members, people that are going to be close to us that need someone to connect with. We're having a social in a couple of weeks at the Village. So if someone's interested in just coming to connect with us and see if it might be good for them, they're welcome to come join us. And that will be posted on the startupchicks.org website probably a couple of weeks into December.
Now, at startupchicks.org, can you see the other circles? So there's like kind of a tab for the circles so you can find one near you?
Yeah, exactly. So we have groups popping up everywhere from Savannah to Seattle, and you can look to see if there's a circle in your neighborhood. And if there isn't one, you might want to think about starting one.
Right?
Exactly.
And they can contact you and you can tell them how easy it is, right?
Exactly.
So now Rigor, if somebody wants to learn more, where can they go?
Rigor.com. And we're also on Twitter at Team Rigor.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
All right, James, you ready to call it a day?
Oh, it's been fantastic. Really, really interesting to see what you guys are up to.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for James Douglas and our friends at Bandicoders. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Technology Radio.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.